Just to remind you, if you see everything is directly in this life, then you get to see the day of your enlightenment. Okay? That would be fun. Right? So it's probably worth it just for that to do the stupid Tibetan stuff. I want to continue, if you don't mind, with the review. I think once a year is probably good. And I was trying to remember where we were, and I think it was around here. Three kinds of middle ways. You can enable it, yeah, okay. Let's just cancel. Okay, so there's three kinds of middle way. First is foundation middle way, which is emptiness. Halfway between what? Middle way should be translated as halfway between, maybe. Yeah, halfway between what? That's a viewpoint.
Too extreme.
No, see, that'll come next, I think, state of mind. But this is an existing... This is emptiness itself. What are the two extremes? Existing blank or existing blank? What?
Existing
true. Yeah. The lady at the ice cream shop existing from her own side is one extreme, and existing, not existing at all, if she doesn't exist from her own side, is the second. So that's halfway between for foundation middle way. Then there's pot middle way, which is direct perception of this foundation middle way. So pot middle way, it's Australian too, right, is resting upon unpracticing, because we do the Pacific Rim, we can include East Australia. Path middle way perceives foundation middle way, right? Okay? The state of mind, which is between two extremes, perceives middle way. The emptiness, the lack of the other two extremes. Okay? That's the one. That's the mind one. And then, result middle way is where you achieve. He gives the example of nirvana, where you don't have anything left over. Do you know the lakche? Lakche? Say lakche.
Lakche.
If you don't talk, you don't get candy. Lakche.
Lakche.
It works for me. I thought it might work for you. Lakche nyangde. Lakche nyangde. So lakche means, lakmadan chepa means with something left over. And nyangde means nirvana. So what's left over? Some people say your body, right? Your suffering, your body that came from bad karma. So you're in nirvana, your mind's in a perfect place, but your body, you still have this body which is kind of, it's like junk still left over. It hasn't died off yet. But then the higher school says, what, do you remember? Did we get there? It's in this book. Oh, it's kind of cool.
Seeds that won't
ripen. Sorry, again?
Seeds that won't
ripen. It's kind of weird. They say you achieve, you see, most people would say you achieve nirvana with something left over first, and then you achieve nirvana with nothing left over. But in Prasangika, they say you achieve nirvana with nothing left over first, and then you achieve nirvana with something left over. Do you remember? What? Yeah, when you're in the direct perception of emptiness, you don't have baggage. And then when you come out, you have baggage again. So they reverse it. Is that nirvana? Oh, anyway, it's this kind of nirvana. Maybe it's, no. It's path nirvana, anyway. And so he says, when we talk about entering the middle way, as the title of the book we're talking about. We're talking about the middle way, which is the words used to express the middle way. Okay. And middle way in the form of words refers to Aryanagarjuna's original book. So when Master Chandrakirti says, I'm going to write a book called Entering the Middle Way, it's entering how Aryanagarjuna presented foundation middle way, entering it. Okay? Got it? Okay. Then there's a long debate about Aryanagarjuna's work doesn't directly mention the two wings of the bird, right? Compassion and an understanding of emptiness. But it's implicit. We did that. I think we can kind of skip through all that easily. This is interesting. Entering the middle way enters into Aryanagarjuna's text by denying that something could grow from something else. Okay? That anything could cause anything else. Right? Like, sometimes someone came to me with this quandary, you know. Should I get a job? I've been offered a job, but it requires 40 hours. And it pays really good. And there's this other job I could get where people would be talking Chinese around me, but I'd make like minimum wage, but I could have my own hours, you know. Which should I do? Because I'm broke. Okay. What's the assumption there about both of them? Working makes money. Okay, you get money by working. That's, both of them assumes that. And that's one of those diamond dealer things, you know. It's positing two choices, both of which are false, right? Money doesn't come from working. We have a business seminar for EBI called Money Doesn't Come From Working. You don't get money by working, which most students at our university are proving. But yeah, you get... I went home, I gave this person this complicated advice, and then I went home and I thought, I screwed up, you know, they tricked me. You know, I should have told them, just help more people, help out, you know, be more, not just generous. We tend to give away all our money and then be broke. It's more like take responsibility, you know, like you guys did in Australia, you know, like they have this diamond mountain, and they have a retreat center, and they have a Dharma center. And it's not like they gave money to a Dharma center. They took responsibility for the whole shtick. You know, they just took responsibility for it. So, you know, whenever they're in a financial crisis, they have to fly back and clean it up and stuff. That means they have responsibility. And I think it's more like that. It's more this attitude that I'll take responsibility for someone else's welfare. You know, and then the money just comes from that. You see, I mean, money comes from that. So, doesn't that cause money? Didn't I just say that causes money? Yes. I did, and it does cause money. I can tell you that. But this says things don't cause anything else. Things don't grow from something else. Was I wrong or is he wrong?
They're both right.
They don't grow from something else inherently, or by definition.
Yeah, right, they don't grow from the things you thought. It doesn't come from working. It doesn't come from working. Some people work like crazy and they die before the paycheck is cut, you know. Alright? And then other people don't work and money just comes in. Okay. But they must have taken responsibility for somebody before. Okay? And then they take a lot of trouble to refute the mind-only school. And then it goes on to demonstrate how, nonetheless, all the workings of cause and effect are perfectly reasonable. Okay? Meaning, you collect good karma and money comes. That's fine. And when you teach emptiness, if you can shock people into thinking nothing exists or nothing causes anything else, and then take them that second step, but everything still works fine. That's very important, because most people don't go the second step. Most people just leave them with the first step. Nothing exists, everything's an illusion. And then they leave, you know, and they don't tell them about the karma thing. Okay. I like that karma and emptiness has become just part of everybody's vocabulary. And they don't notice it anymore. It was invented in North Carolina at the... Is it Kadampa Center? I don't know, 1998 or something, 1997, right? The marriage of karma and emptiness. Now it's everyone uses it. We were in Taiwan, and this guy was driving us around, and we asked him, what's the word for mental seat? Right, bakchang, in Chinese. And he gave us the word, and I don't remember, do you remember? But he says you hear it all over Taiwan now. And first he taught us the word, and then he was driving, he kept driving, and then he said, by the way, everyone uses this word now. You know, I just planted a dinger winger on my mind. You know? And then like 5 minutes later, he turned around and said, and that was coined in the Diamond Cutter. The person who translated your book made up a new word for that. And now everyone uses it in Taiwan. It's really cool. Okay. It wasn't dinger winger. It's more like tour model. What is it? Say it. Yeah. Ming-ing. Yeah. That was it. It was close, dinger winger. Here's a nice part. Those of the lower way and those of the higher way are completely equivalent in the sense that to reach either nirvana or Buddhahood, they have to see emptiness. So he's selling the idea of emptiness. And I think that's maybe what a lot of our projects, maybe the SIE, the Christian project, I think is to try to sell people the idea that and it came, does it come in your book? Even good deeds done by a person without an understanding of emptiness caused them suffering. Where was that? Oh, it was in his other book. Yeah. It's a verse out of the Letter to the King that we did on the in Tucson. But the idea, Arya Nagarjuna states in that book, and it kind of gets watered down in later centuries. He states directly, the verse says, those who do good deeds without an idea of emptiness will suffer. Yeah, it's like that. It's very strong, you know. So, even if you just want to be happy, but you don't want to save the world, even if you just want your own mind to be contented, it's impossible without understanding emptiness. That's what he's saying here. Cannot do it. Won't happen. What's that mean? In my personal life, it's that every time I'm unhappy, it's because I'm not being aware of karma. You know? Like, it's very important, that unilateral thing. This person is making me unhappy. I mean, that itself is a... for a Buddhist, that's a false, what do you call it?
Fallacious.
It's fallacious, right? Nobody can make you anything, you know? It's all coming, they came from you, so you're making yourself whatever it is. But, and my response to that They are unpleasant today. They did say something mean to me or do something mean to me today. People did criticize me today. But what should my reaction be? You see? And then it's just, Ken Rinpoche used to look you in the eye and say, be happy. You know? And you're like, this guy's screwing me, you know? And he's like, be happy, you know? And it's like, yeah, but be happy, go away. I'm watching baseball. You know? It's very difficult, but the idea is that you won't be happy until you realize that to respond in any other way than being happy or kind is just gonna keep them in your world. So if you don't like this bad stuff happening to you, then stop it from your side. Take responsibility, just stop it from your side. Don't wait for them to change. They're not gonna change until you change first. Then there's this time gap during which you're being nice and they're not being nice. And then they change. That's all. So yeah, if you can't be happy, at least be peaceful. You know, at least let the mind rest. Let it relax. Let it find some kind of quiet peace. There's still crap going on around you. And then you just put your mind in some kind of peace and leave it there. And then you're not making new bad karma. And then the cha-cho, say cha-cho. Cha-cho. Cha-cho is not the name of a city near Chengdu. that's Chongqing. Cha-cho means blah blah in Tibetan. Blah blah. You know, so there's still going to be cha-cho going on. You know, there's still cha-cho. Still people are cha-choing you. You know, and then from your side, you're just quiet, peaceful, relaxed in your mind. Right? There's still tension in the air around you and all that, but you're happy. You're quiet, you're peace, and then you make new good karma, and then the cha-cho goes away after a while. Because that's just an echo of the bad stuff you did before, right? So you can't stop unhappiness unless you're happy. Okay. Easy to say. And this is interesting. Those of the lower way, they just sort of, they kind of get emptiness sort of roughly, and then it's enough to get them to nirvana. Those of the greater way, they're trying to reach the point where they can influence all the beings on a billion planets sitting in Bowie, Arizona. Okay? They're trying to reach a point. And it's done through the navel chakra, by the way. So, do Dharma Mitra's second series, right? Hip openers. What? Hip openers are going to help me stand on a billion worlds, right? Yeah. Exactly. And that chakra, emanation chakra, Tripakorma, it slowly opens. And like a portal, and then you can experience how your activities at Diamond Mountain are affecting millions of worlds at this moment. Okay, and that's really fun. All right. Oh, and then it says something else, right? This is very famous. Say Rigpa Tayebe Gone. Rigpa Tayebe Gone.
Gone.
Let's do the whole thing. Rigpe.
Rigpe.
Namdang.
Namdang.
Taiyebe.
Taiyebe.
Gone.
Gone.
This is misspelled. I'll just fix it. One more time. Rigpe.
Rigpe.
Namdang.
Namdang.
Taiyebe.
Taiyebe.
Gone.
Gone.
Rikspa means, in Ladakh they would say Rikspa. What does that mean? Sorry? Yeah. It means family, or it can mean logic. Okay, it can mean argument, logical argument. Then Namdang, you know this word from Chumden Day, chicken namdang is thing in the number shuksa. Chicken namdang. What's chicken namdang? Chicken namdang means all the different kinds of stuff. Rigpe namdang means all the different kinds. It can mean synonym, by the way, namdang. But Rigpe namdang means all the different kinds of proofs. Tayeba. What's Tayeba? Infinite. Infinite. No end. Ta means end, right? Like Tar Chin means going to the end. Tayeba means no end. It's probably similar to the Y-E in Yeshe, like endless wisdom, maybe. Okay. So Rigpa Namdang Tayeba Gone means what? Gone. By means of, or via, or through the medium of, or whatever. So, by using infinite numbers of logical proofs, for what?
Emptiness.
Yeah, so, you know, people say, are you Mahayana? And Geshe Thich Nhat Hanh spoke about this in the last time we were there. People say, are you Mahayana? And they say, yeah. And they say, why? And they say, because I'm trying to be nice to everybody. But what would it be in this context? Are you Mahayana? Yes. Why? Yeah. I like to hear different proofs for emptiness. Like, I already know 23, and I'm learning more, right? Do you know Dorje Sekma? Or do you know Tashi Namutawe? Or do you know Yume Gopi Tensei? Or do you know, Chikten Dumutawe Tensei? Or do you, how many arguments for emptiness do you know? You see? And then, if you want to know if you're Mahayana by nature, is your calm Mahayana, you're attracted to new arguments for emptiness. That's Rigpa Namdang Tayeba Gone. And you can't get enough of them. Like some people crave for chocolate in countless different formats. Like, it could be dark chocolate, it could be Anatole and Andriana's new milk chocolate without milk, and it could be Hershey Kisses. It could be, what is it called? Chocolate Constellations. And this could be dark chocolate or bitter chocolate or Cadbury's in China. She turned to me today so sweetly and said, the only good thing in China was that I the 2 months with the bed bugs. And I'm like, she's going to say it was me, And she said, that Cadbury chocolate we brought. So some people just thinking about chocolate in different formats, but a Mahayana person, they're like, wow, give me one more reason why the lady at the Stop and Go? Stop and Shop. Stop and Shop?
Store and More.
After Folk Jimmy, they're going to call it No Stop, No Go. But yeah, 100 reasons why she doesn't come from her own side. 100 reasons why we're not going to be disappointed if she's put the ice cream away before we got there. Okay. That still doesn't work. Oh, we talked about Chittajara Doja. People for whom a book was targeted. People towards whom a book is targeted. And that's the idea that people like Maitreya, who he's talking about right here, Lord Maitreya targeted his famous book, Ngundokyan Abhisamangkara, Ornament of Realizations, for like people who could, with a single book, understand emptiness, get emptiness with a single book. But it tells us something about how we should be. You see, you get out to give a talk, you should target it. You should look out at the audience or study the audience before you get there, find out who they are, and then do the Buddhist chameleon thing. Target them. What he's saying by target means, don't just get up and talk, think about who they are and what language they need, and then change it, adjust your language to them, right? And then as you get better at that, you can attract varying audiences. You can help more people. And I think there's a tendency in Dharma circles to get stuck in one, I call it almost Dharma ease. It's like a language which is constantly using foreign words. Like, if you want to get Ngenjung, you're going to have to work on the first step of Bodhicitta, and then Shunyata will overcome your aversion to samsara. You know, and then, no, and then this person is already six foreign words, and they're like, you know, you just put six obstacles in their way, right? So you're not targeting them, because you're not thinking about them. You're just thinking about yourself, you know? You're just thinking about what you want to say. So first thing you do, you sit down. My lama used to say, I used to say, what am I supposed to say? What should I think about? They say, say something that helps them, for God's sake. You know, first thing you do when you sit down, you come out from the backstage at Taipei City Hall, you know, and you come out with Yat Pen, and you walk out there, and you're like, oh my God, you know, and it's like this, it's like a football stadium, you know. And, you're like, and then the first thing you do is sit down. First you find a chair, try not to trip, and then you think, what would help these people? Before you open your mouth, you say to yourself, what would help these people? You target, okay? And books too, when you write a book, you have to be very clear before you lay the pen to the paper, or before you translate something, you have to think, who's this for? You know, what audience is this for? And then make it for that audience, okay? And there can be different audiences. You can have a technical Buddhist translation, which will please Gene Smith, and Art, and somebody else probably. or you can make a, what do you call it? A mass market book. But specifically, it has to have a clear focus, like who is it going to attract? Like when we work on new books with different people now, which is very pleasant to do collaborations with other people. And we all sit down first and say, who's it for? You know, and that's very important. So target teachings. What do you think they call teachings on Bodhicitta Farmyutin? Yeah, they affect infinite number of people. Right? And as I said, I think as your yoga gets better and as your practice gets better, you can make contact with your navel chakra and you can make contact with the effects that your life is having in other worlds. And then I think you appreciate the expression far reaching. Say Gyachen Chöpa. Gyachen Chöpa. Which is far reaching. Okay. What's the opposite of that? In Sanskrit. You have it. Xingshen. 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 Close? No. Okay. Yeah, Gambhira. Deep. What's the English cognate? I think it's Gumby. I haven't found one yet. Okay, anyway. This is interesting because he gets into the difference between literal and figurative, right? And every time you target for an audience who is less than a Diamond Mountain obvious audience, you'll be speaking figuratively. And then when all goes up on the web together, they'll figure out that all the other teachings don't sound like the one from Diamond Mountain. And they'll think you're either crazy or, you know what I mean, or it seems inconsistent. Or you said everything is empty, but now you say only half the things are empty, and like that. And then, so I think in your own life, a natural result of targeting certain audiences is that there will be appear to be inconsistencies. Or people will think you're crazy, is what I'm saying. You know. And, you know, You could be like Arya Nagarjuna. People say there must have been two, because there's this one who wrote all the emptiness books, and then there's this tantrika who wrote all these tantric texts, and they're so different that it must be. And they spend hundreds of pages proving that there's two Arya Nagarjunas. Or you can just think, when you see a teaching like that, when a lama seems to contradict themselves, or when two of your lamas seem to contradict each other, then you have to work on figurative. Which one's being figurative? You have to struggle with that. It's a test from them. All lamas do that. Single lamas do that, and then every pair of lamas do that. Okay. Oh, cool. Did we get this far? I don't know. Oh, we did. Honoring great compassion without dividing it, and honoring great compassion by dividing it. Maybe we should go find that. That's where we were supposed to start tonight. Okay. Then it's kind of confusing. What does it mean, honoring great compassion without dividing it, and honoring great compassion with dividing it? He's talking from the root text, Master Chandrakirti's text. And then we made a decision that's going to cost us a year or two. We decided to translate the root text as we went along. And we've been doing it. But I think it's time to do some cleanup work. I think we should take all the pieces of the root text out of the commentary and put them in one place. Because it won't be consistent. The verses will sound different. There won't be the same rhythm, the same meter, the same style, because one was done in 2004 and one was done in 2007. You know what I mean? So I thought maybe tonight we get the root text into a document. Jupa root text. This is the root text. And I think we would clean it up. So I did a macro at one point for a... Let's see if it works. I don't know. Is that all? Okay. That sort of cleans it up. And I think we'll just start... we'll start a second book, which is the root text, okay? So, help me. I don't know. Ben Kramer. Translate the first one. Shijiao. Shijiao. Yeah, quote. It's just a quotation mark. Shijiao. Shuk so. What's shuk mean? Shuda. Somebody comes in, say shuda.
Shuda.
Shuda. Somebody comes into your house, into your cell in the monastery, and you say shuda. Shuda means have a seat. Shuk, sit. Have a seat. It's another version of juk. Once you've entered, you can shuk. Okay. Okay, so here in contained. What is it? In Sanskrit, is it Virasmati or Viharasmati? Yeah. Here in containment is. Let's read it together. We'll do this part together. Just the top line. By the way, those of you who are new, we're learning to read both the Roman transcription and the Tibetan script, okay? And it's funny, we're in China, right? And And for years, I think it's been about 25 years, we've been trying to sell Tibetans on the idea, type the Roman and the Tibetan spits out, you know. Because no one's going to pay to make a Tibetan keyboard. You know, like, Sony Vaio is not going to come out with a Tibetan computer. It's not going to happen. So then we went to China, and that's what they do, actually. They type the pinyin. They type the sound, basically. And then three characters come up, three choices, and then they click on the right one. Because there's 72,000 characters. Or something. So, you know, how are you going to put that on a keyboard? So you know, this lama from Vajrapani wanted a book from me this weekend. He needed it in a hurry. He's like desperate for it. He emailed me. Call me. This other Kyungla Rinpoche wrote me. He needs a book. He said, I couldn't email you because I had to write the name of the book. You know what I mean? And so like a whole people is like not able to communicate with each other because they're waiting for... You gotta do it like this. So you should learn to do this transcription thing. Because in the future, even if there's... Unicode will come out, every language in the world will be on your computer. But you're still gonna have to access it with Roman letters. Typing. You're going to have to hit Roman sounds. That's the way it works, even in China. So learn to read it, because that's what you're going to input, even 100 years from now, when they got Tibetan letters in the computer, which they will in about 2 years or 5 years. It's already finished. Okay, so here we go. 1, 2, 3. Kya kar ke du madhyama ka Abhatara Nama. What's Gyagra? India. Gya means big, like Gyatso, like His Holiness is Tenzin Gyatso, right? Big water, which means ocean. Dalai is the Mongolian word for ocean, right? So Gya means wide, or big. And then the Gar came from Gar, which means white. And it was because people in India, when these words were invented, maybe 2,000 years ago, wore a lot of white cloth. So it was a big country where people wore white cloth. But in China, they still favor, and they look very cool in black clothes. So that's called Gya, Gyanak. A big country that where they wear black, Gyanak. Okay, so Gyagara, say Gyagara, and Gyanak. So Gyagara Kedu means, in the language of India, we call this book Madhyamaka Avatara Nama. Okay? And whenever you see a Sanskrit title, you have to check it. Okay? So I'll turn you on to something. This is a really beautiful dictionary. It's 20 volumes. Some guy sat in India for about 25 years, and he made a dictionary of Tibetan and Sanskrit. It's Tibetan to Sanskrit. And he just sat there for 25 years, and he got all the books that are still available in Sanskrit, Buddhist books. And he sat there, and every time he found a new word that was in the Tibetan, he made his dictionary. You know, it's about 20 volumes. And now we have it online. First we typed it in illegally, and I was just using it personally, which is legal. So it wasn't illegal. But then John Brady met him. He's very old now. He's close to 90, I think. And asked him, could we get the copyright to give away the electronic version? And he said, cool. And he's done it. It needs a little work. It needs a little cleaning up before we can release it by people who know Sanskrit and Tibetan. And it would be a huge job. I think we could get a grant for it, actually. So I was thinking about it for certain people. As just a way to... it's a tremendous contribution to the world. Because then later we can put the English in. And it would be the best Dharma dictionary ever. And I'll show you what it's like. So we go like this. I just want to make sure he spelled Madhyamaka correctly. Madhyamaka. So I typed in Uma, because I'm checking to see if his Madhyamaka is correct. Because you hear people say Madhyamika, you hear people say Madhyamaka. Let's check. There's all the choices. Madhyamaka or Madhyama, but there's also a Madhyamika. You see? But there's no what? Madhyamaka is not an option. Okay? Now, right here you can see why we need someone to help work on the dictionary. He says Uma, he gives the Tibetan, right? And then he gives three Sanskrit equivalents. But he doesn't mention, he doesn't repeat the Tibetan before each one. You see? So, when you put all of the words in alphabetical order, in reverse, you can't do it. There'll be no Uma next to the second and the third entry here. You can't create a... You can't interleave his other 18 volumes with his first volume, because he started over in each of the volumes. You see? So you can't collate them until somebody puts Uma in front of two and Uma in front of three. It won't work. You see what I mean? So somebody has to help do that. It'd be a great contribution to the world. But anyway, there's no Madhyamaka there. It's either Madhyamika or Madhyamaka, okay? And then here, what's it say? Madhyamaka. Madhyamaka. So, anyway, you gotta have a long A in the front. If you're gonna have a long A, it's gotta be in the first syllable, okay? Madhyamaka. Let's check that. Let's make sure. Before we change his book. Madhyamaka. Madhyamaka or Madhyamaka? Okay? Those are the choices. Oh, this is something. So long Madhyamaka. Madhyamaka Alankara, Madhyamaka. Let's look at Umala Jupa and see what he said. By the way, this is how we correct your mantras in your empowerment text and stuff. It takes like 6 weeks to do all the mantras in the empowerment text. Madhyamaka Avatara. Okay? So that's correct. So there's no long A's here. So we're going to fix the Tibetan. Madhyamaka Avatara. Should we put a long A here? Son of Thor?
I can never see
this. Well, you can go sit somewhere else. Oh, anyway, Madhyamaka, Avatara or Avatara? Ava is the prefix Ava or Ava?
There's two A's together.
If the two A's come together, it goes long. Madhyamaka Avatara. But if you split it, it's Madhyamaka Avatara. Okay? He split it. The Tibetans split it. So we'll let them keep it. Okay? And is it Avatara or Avatara? It's Tara. Okay? And is Nama with a long A or a short A? Do you say Namaste or do you say Namaste? And is that name? Hmm? It's long?
I think so.
Do you say Namaste?
It's Namaste.
That means to bow down, Namas, right? But the ancient meaning was, I bow down to your name. But let's see. We'll look up Nama, and we'll look up Nama. Near the Tibetan word, which is what? Maybe we won't hit all the others. How do you say name?
Name.
What is it in Chinese?
Name.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Was it Ming? Yeah, Ming? Ming? First tone? Second. Ming. Ming. Oh. But it's just sun and moon together or something like that? Okay. Chida Mingjo. Anyway. It's neither. Did we misspell it somewhere? Is it neither Nama nor Nama?
Nama?
Nama. Huh? Oh, good. Or a T, maybe. I mean an S. Yeah. Let's try Namas. Yeah, there you go. Nama, Sangiti. That's in Manjushri's thing. So anyway, it's Nama. So he's okay. We'll let him go. Okay, so how are you going to translate this? In the language of India, this book is known as what? Madhya Maka Avatara. Okay? And Madhyamika is okay. You can say Madhyamika. All right? I'm going to put back this long A because everyone's doing it. Okay. There's a reason. I mean, which brings me to another point. In Tibetan, there's no two letters for B and V. You use the same letter, B, ba, ba, say ba.
Ba.
Because there's no V in, there's no V sound in Tibetan. There's no V in any word in Tibetan. And that's also the case in like Bengal, certain parts of Bengal. They don't distinguish between a B and a V. So they'd say Bajra for Bajra, okay, like that. And it would really sound like Vajra. And so in Sanskrit manuscripts from Bengal, you get a B sometimes and you get a V sometimes. They use them almost interchangeably. But the rest of Sanskrit and the rest of India, they're very careful to distinguish between a B and a V. So it came into the Vajrayogini Tantra came into Tibet, and her most important sound of all Vajrayogini, the whole Vajrayogini Tantra, thousands and thousands of pages and books can be summarized in a single sound, Vam. Say Vam. Okay? That's her. That's in essence, that is her. If you just know Vam, you know everything. Yeah. Really. So what happened in Tibet? It got changed to Vam. Because they didn't have a V. So for 39 generations, it's been Vam. And now you're going to correct it to Vam, okay? Because that's, it's what it's meant to be. It's very beautiful. It's the V for Vajrayogini. And it's the V-A-M for Vama, Marga, the left-hand path. And it's Vam for Fem, which is where feminine came from. They're all the same. They all mean the same thing. The left-handed one was the woman. So Vam, Vamapada, which is very famous in India, the left-handed tantra, which is Vajrayogini. It's Vam, you see. And if you tell that to Tibetan, they won't be impressed because they can't stay Vam. You know, Rinpoche would say, get the Wan. Go drive the Wan here. Because they do have a W. You know what I mean? So, anyway, it's like us trying to pronounce Chinese right. Okay. All right. So you're going to say Avatara, right? Avatara. Okay, Avatara. Okay. Pukedu, which means what? Yeah, in the language of. Why called Put? Why was Tibet called Put?
That's his name.
What? So you. What does pur mean? Bhubha. It's a verb, bhubha. To shout. Yeah, to shout. And then it, even the word Tibet, the bat in Tibet is a corruption of bud, bud, which is corruption of bu, which means to yell or to shout. And the idea was that India is the land of the Aryas, so it's the holy land. And it's within a stone's throw of Tibet. And in Tibet, in the way you say within a stone's throw, is you say within calling distance. So Tibet is called Tibet because it's within calling distance of the motherland, the holy land. Okay. So, in the language of Tibet, this book, it is known as what? Jupa. Okay. Say this one for me. The one at the top. One, two, three. Jampa Shunur Jumpa La Chakcello. It doesn't say itself. Chakcello. It's an ancient form. Now, as an editor of ACIP text, you have to imagine, what does cha look like? What does cha look like in Tibetan? Yeah, it looks like you're to Ida Pingala connecting a joint down four stories below your navel, right? And what does sa look like? Same thing with a little tiny flag on it, which often gets chipped off in wooden wood blocks. Okay, so then what do? You just go correct it. Okay, it just chips off. So shouldn't the Tibetan typist have typed sa? They've done it 100,000 times. Shouldn't they just type sell? They're under very strict instructions. You don't correct the text. You don't guess what chip fell off. You just type what's there. Because then it would get crazy. You know? Then every little typer guy in Hunza, India would say, I think this should be this. You know? And then people see the data and they say, you're crazy, it says Chakcello. Your people don't know Chakcello from Chakcello. And we're like, no, the idea is to input what's there. And then somebody else has to come and correct it. But the idea is to input what's there. And people didn't get it. For a long time, people still don't get it. You know, if they start correcting things, then rare words will get lost. And unusual words will get lost. And beautiful ancient differences will get lost. Like Geshe Michael taking out the long A from Madhyamaka. Okay. I think we did this. I'm just going to check. No. Okay. So what's Chakcello? Yeah, I bow down. You can say I make prostrations, but it's just not in the current English. Prostration means heat prostration, or prostate gland problems, and it's not in current English. You know, when you respect somebody, you bow down. You can say obeisance, but if you Google that, you only get 3 hits. So. No, I mean, use language that people know, you know. Make it comfortable for people. I bow down to Jampa. What's Bell?
Glorious.
And then it's understood it's Jampa Yang. Gentle voice. Shunu, who is a Shunu? Where's Shunu Bao? What's Shunu? Youthful. Yeah. How did you translate it? It's kind of cute. What did you say? As a teenage boy. You want to put it? Is it okay? Can I borrow it? Yeah. In his form. Abba, teenage boy. Is that okay? Which one? As a...
Adolescent?
Teenage boy.
Teenage is kind of like teeny bopper or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But adolescence even worse, I think.
How about
young
man?
Young man.
Reverse young man.
Too old.
He's 16.
Really?
Think back in the day, 16.
He's got to be 16.
That was a young man back in the day.
People ain't called you a young man when you're 16 who are trying to tell you, you're trying to be, what do they call it? Patronizing young man.
Back then, a 16-year-old boy would be married and have kids.
Yeah, that's true. All right. One more to, oh, can you catch? She can't cook. Okay. I don't know, gourmet jellyfish. That's hard to give up. We have to save the red vines. Right? We have to save the red vines. The panda has to go to Panda Girl. You have to give it to her afterwards. Maybe not. And then we have Twin Dragon almond cookies. I don't think they have any fortunes. Maple cream cookies. If you're ever in a three-year retreat, and who was crazy about the maple cream cookies? The rabbit. Rabbits in the Arizona desert like maple cream cookies. And once they eat them for a week, they won't eat any other kind. They come up to the door, and they bang on the door, and then you open it, and they're like, and then they go like that, they're here, it's cookie. And then you hand them a cookie, and if you try to pass off a non-maple cookie, they like sneak at it. And then they kind of touch it to their mouth, and then they just look away. And they sit there until you bring them back. Okay. Let's read this one together. This is four lines of poetry. So unless it's Milarepa, we're going to read it in what kind of rhythm? Pairs. Okay, in pairs. Da-dum, 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 dum. Da-dum, 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 dum. Da-dum, 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 dum. If it was Milarepa, it would be dum. Da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. Dun, 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 dun. And then the first Panchen Lama stole that, okay? So okay, so you gotta do this dun dun thing. With a full mouth. One, two, three. Nian tu sang ge ding na tu bo ge sang ge chang chu sen ba le chung xin ni je sen da ni su me lo tang Chang chu sen ni gyalse na ki gyu. There's gyalse, by the way. Okay. Oh, oh. This is a section that we've already translated. And so this is where we're going to start putting together our second book, right? This is Geshe Michael's system. When you figure out the first book's going to take you 26 years, what do? Start another one. Start a new one. Okay. Okay. We did this one already. We'll go to the second verse. Swallow your cookie in the next 5 seconds. This is God, speed up. Brian's not gonna make it. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Kong Chi Se Mi Gao Mei Lo To Wun Song Di Sa Hun Tong Ni Bella Chi Da Yin Ring Tu Long Chi Ne La Ming Pa Da Wun De Ju Pa Te Shi Da Ki Tong Ma Ni Je De Pa Ki. Let's go find that piece that we did. By the way, this is why I don't convert it from Roman until I'm done with the whole book. Because I can search for stuff. Although you could convert it and leave the Roman and put the Tibetan under it. You know what I mean? But it's like Aura's Law at midnight, the night before the class. She gets the final Roman version. You know what I mean? And then theoretically, somebody should archive that. And that should be a translation thing. Okay, Alistair, somebody has to archive your final Roman version, Roman and English, or whatever language you're doing. And that has to be archived, because what happens is that systems for representing Tibetan on computers change constantly. Like the one we used before through your retreat is no longer usable. And so we have all these documents from before through your retreat that have Tibetan script in them that we can't use anymore. Unless you get WordPerfect or someone to compare it. Yeah, no, you can write a program, but you don't always have a free programmer around. So anyway, make a final ASCII version. ASCII meaning straight computer language text. And then have it around as the base copy that's going to be around for the next few hundred years. And then convert it into whatever is popular or whatever script is popular or like that. Once Unicode is out, it might be okay. Because that will replace, in a way it will be just a bigger ASCII, I think. So anyway. Anyway, we have translated these lines. Fix this as per commentary later. Okay. We're going to still do it later. At the very beginning then I sing the praises of compassion, for love and only love was said to be like the seed for the excellent crops of the victors. Like the water that makes them grow, like the years of ripening it takes for them to become a thing they can pretend. Okay. So, as you see, we're like piecing together the root text. We're translating the root text. We're getting it all in one place, because it's spread throughout what we've been working on. Where? For them to become a thing that they can take. I know. Yeah. Okay. Okay. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Dhammo rāse dakla shen gyurshi Daki dishe mula chakke pa So chun chenta rama me pa yi Dola niche kam de la du. Okay. By the way, up here you see that the file is called Jupa, root text. In the monastery, Majjhimika Avatara is just called Avatara. In Tibetan, Jupa. I said, what are you working on nowadays? Jupa. Or are you working on Gyan? What's Gyan? Mundo Gyan. Okay? Like that. They don't say the whole name of the book. They just say, like if you're working on A Midsummer Night's Dream, they'll say Dream. I'm on dream. You see what I mean? Because everybody knows you're on one of them. Okay. How have we translated that? Yeah, we did. These are very beautiful. I bow down to the state of... Let's do it together, you ready? One, two, in English. Three. I bow down to the state of mind that feels compassion for living beings, for those who begin by thinking me, enticed by the idea of self, and then they find themselves attached to things, to the mind, and continue to then like a water wheel, helplessly turning on and on. So this is like that Beatles song, what?
Only mine.
My mind, my mind.
All through the night. I be mine, I be mine, I be mine. It's a beautiful song. So it's me and mine, me and mine, okay? Doc and Docky. And there were some questions about the text. Is it Sheng Yur Sheng or is it Da Ki? And let's just look at the tenure, okay? Let's see what the tenure says. Dong Por Na. It's good to put another piece of it. She Dak. La Shin. And those of you who are new, we're learning to use the database. So in the last, ACIP is going to be 20 years old next year. We should have a party or something, right? And they've input, I don't know, about 300,000 pages or some more. And so for the first time in history, you can check things and make sure they're correct and like that. Within a few seconds, within 5 to 10 seconds. It used to take us about 3 days to do the search we're about to do in 5 seconds. We'd have to go to the temple, unwrap the proper volume of the tenure or kongyur out of 210 volumes, pick the right one, unwrap the outer cloth, unwrap the inner cloth, untie the two sets of straps, you know, and then scan through the book page by page. And if you just blink, you have to start over again, 1,000 pages, you know, and now it's a few seconds. Then you have to rewrap it perfectly or Rinpoche would know that you had gotten into the books. You know? And, okay, so, which in a proper temple should never be open. They should just be up there, nice straight silk cloths. Okay. So, you have a choice, Kangyur, Tengyur, or Sumbu. Where are we going to look for a commentary? In the Tengyur. Yeah. We can make the search faster if we know which section of Tengyur. Uma, okay, the Manimika section. And here you see Jupa, right? Right here. That was back in the days when you only had 8 letters for a file. A folder name, so we had to come up with creative things, and these corrections are just added later by me, I think, and I don't think they're correct anymore, so I think they're okay. And there's rules about whether Xing should come after an R or Qing should come after an R. Let's check, okay? What I'd like to do is... You can open another. Well, we'll use the same window. You do, this is cool, you just say R Xing or R Qing. And this, one vote for Qing. One vote for Qing. One vote for Xing. Let's do it again. It's the same suffix letter, so what follows it should be consistent. Got it? Like, whether you use Qing or Xing or Xing is determined by the last letter of the last word. So let's see. This is, says Kyur Qing, This says Kyur Jing. And this says Ngyur Jing. Jing. Okay, the rule after R is that it should be Sha. It should say Kyur Jing. So are there immediately two cases in the Tengyur where it's misspelled? Look more carefully. Is this Ngyur? What is it? Cure. Say cure.
Cure.
It's different from Ngyur. Say Ngyur. There's a little ng sound before it. Ngyur. Then say cure. Ngyur is the present and future tense. Cure is the past tense. And it's a big difference. Okay? If you're going to say, I'm going to see you tomorrow, you might use Ngyur. If you're going to say, I saw him yesterday, you'd say cure. If you can't separate them, then people don't know whether you're coming tomorrow or yesterday. Okay? So you have to learn the difference. Kyur and Gyur. I imagine the Chinese tones are the same, but I'm just ignoring them right now. Okay? Which means instead of two words, you're like, it could be 30 different words that you're saying. Okay, but in ancient Tibetan, how many secondary suffix letters are there in Tibetan?
Two.
Yeah, sa and da. But the da is gone. The da dropped out of the language. Okay? So, for example, if you want to say rikpa, it could mean, without the sa, silent suffix letter, it could mean, without the sa, it means?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. And with the sa, it means?
Logic
or family. And it's silent, except in Ladakh, or places that probably speak the way it was spoken before it changed. So they're saying rikspa, or in Mongolia they still say rikspa. Okay, but there was a second suffix letter named da, and it was used for past tense, like something in English. What? Ed. So it's easy to remember. In English, we use ed a lot of times. In Tibetan, they used a da. It disappeared from the written language. But its effects still linger. Because after a da, you should put jing instead of xing. Okay, so here you've got qiu jing, and it's correct. Okay, it's cool. It means in ancient times there was a d after the qiu. And if you know about this thing, then you can translate really bad manuscripts like Naropa's biography, okay? No, you can reconstruct stuff. And some old manuscripts, you still see the da. So you can do a better job of translating very difficult handwritten manuscripts if you know this rule. So this is for the more advanced people. If you see Qing after cure, it's not necessarily wrong. It might be a sign that it was past tense. So let's check the one we have. Is it past tense? Oh, cure Qing. It's... Which should it be?
Qing.
It should be Qing, okay? Unless the gears misspelled.
Right.
Okay. Which is possible. And then Daki, this is okay. The old one was okay. Alright? So are you entranced by the idea of a self if you think I'm me? Are you entranced by the idea of a self and you think you are yourself?
No.
Are you yourself?
Yes.
Of course you're yourself. You're not me because you didn't get to drink the chocolate drink. That proves it. Right? So is there a self then?
Mm-hmm.
Is it wrong to be entranced by a self then?
It might be wrong to be entranced by it.
It seems like entranced, that's like you're not using your full clarity of mind.
Yeah, but she said when you're entranced you're not using your mind clearly. And that's the implication of the word shenba in Tibetan. You had it in the Lojong text, Shenba Shida. What's that mean? Shenba Shida. Remember back in Lojong? Yeah. Freedom from the four attachments. So attachment has that same sort of implication, okay? Shamba. Say Yugyudak. Megyudak. Yugyudak. Megyudak. It's Y-O-D, R-G-Y-U, apostrophe I, B-D-A-G. I'll say it again. Y-O-D, R-G-Y-U, apostrophe I, B-D-A-G. And then you replace the Y-O-D with the M-E-D. Okay? I want to teach you Jorlok. Say Jorlok.
Jorlok.
I know I'll type it. Let's type it. And then I'll teach you a little Jorlok. And then it'll be about time to do Bok Jinba. And get the real, original lines. Okay, say Yugyudak. Megyudak. Yugyudak. Megyudak. Now I'm going to Jorlok. Jorlok means spelling out loud in Tibetan. You shouldn't get in the bad habit of saying Y-O-D. Okay? and it's an art, and it was important in ancient times, and it's good for learning to spell. Okay, say Ya.
Ya.
Naro.
Naro.
Yo.
Yo.
Ta.
Ta.
Ye. So you don't anticipate what it's going to change into. You just say incrementally what you got so far. That's the principle of Jorlok. We'll do it again. Ya.
Ya.
Naro.
Naro.
Ye.
Ye.
Good. Yo. I should have said yo. Okay, got it? You don't anticipate what it's going to become. You just say what it is so far. We'll do it again. And so I don't want to hear people saying Y-O-D-R-G, okay, anymore.
Uh-oh.
That's part of it. No, I mean, you go to Chengdu in China, you won't get a Marpa tanka, you'll get butter. Okay, here we go. Yanaroyo. So the vowels are called by their name. The vowels have names. The letters are just what they sound like, which is convenient because that's not the case in English. It should have been a, ba, ga, da, a, fa, ga. And they have names. It's weird. A, and then B, why? And C, and then D, and then E, and then F, why not fi? You see, I mean, it's just corrupt. It's English. Okay, we'll start again. Ya.
Ya.
Naro.
Naro.
Yo.
Yo.
Ta.
Ta.
Ye.
Ye.
Okay.
Ra.
Ra. Gatak.
Gatak.
Tak means stuck on. So you say ra, then you say what gets stuck on, and then you say tak. You should say ra tak ga, right? But it doesn't work that way. Okay, we'll do it again. Ra.
Ra.
Gatak.
Gatak.
And then what do you have so far? Ga.
Ga.
Listen carefully. Ra.
Ra.
Katak.
Ga.
So the G has already changed by the second G. It's changed from ka to ga. Because when it ka gets a head letter, ra, it changes to ga. But you don't anticipate. You don't say ra ga da ga. You say ra ka ta ga. Okay? It's very good for learning how the words change with head letters. Okay. So ra ka ta ga. Yatak.
Yatak.
Stick a Y on that and you've got gya. Shapkyu.
Shapkyu.
Which means foot hook, right? Gyu.
Gyu.
Ah.
Ah.
Gigu.
Gigu.
E.
E.
Gyu.
Gyu.
Okay? Alright, got it? We'll do the next one's easier. When you're gonna alert your listener that you're saying a prefix letter, you add the suffix O to it. So listen, pao.
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 That means I'm giving you a B, but it's only a prefix letter. Pao.
Pao.
And now you've changed the da already. Da. Da.
Da.
It's not da anymore. It's pao.
Pao.
Da.
Da.
Ka.
Ka.
Dak.
Dak.
Okay. Pao.
Pao.
Ta.
Da.
Sorry. Pao.
Pao.
Da.
Da.
Ka.
Ka.
Da. So we'll do the whole thing, ready? One, two, three, stop. Ya na ro yo da ye ra ka ta ga ya ta kya sha ki ki a ki u I gi. And then you pause to let the guy digest. Then you say, Pa-da-ka-da. Da. And then just to be show off, you say, Yugi-da. Yugi-da. Let's do the next one. Ma-gen-gu. Gen means, by the way, to raise a flagpole. And you know that famous picture of Iwo Jima when the flag's half up? So the flag, it means the flagpole, people are lifting up a pole and it's halfway up and it's that vowel that goes like that. Okay, dengu. So we'll start over. Ma dengu me da me. Ra ga ta gya, sorry. Ya ta gya sha ki gyu. Aki ku I gi bao da ka da. Megida. Megida. This is a very, very important principle. And if you learn this in this class tonight, you can impress your friends for your whole life. Okay? Yugi-da means the self which does exist. This is a very rare usage of the word gyu. Gyu means here, which does. Usually it means... What's gyu usually mean?
Cause.
Okay? It's like in English we say, there ain't no cause to get upset. Or like that, or because. So it just came to be, which is. So yugi-da means the self which does exist. And megi-da means the self which doesn't exist. Here's the yugi-da. Okay? No, and if you didn't get any, what? Talk to Anatole and Adriana, or be nicer to Geshe Michael. Which one?
Neither.
Yeah, neither one. Share it with other people. Okay? If you don't share it, and you try to keep it for yourself, then that becomes megi-da. Then that chocolate drink is a megi-da. Means what? That's the chocolate drink that doesn't exist. There's no chocolate drink in this room. I opened up the refrigerator this morning, you know, and I was like, do we have enough fruit to make the morning fruit juice? This is the Anatole started this. I don't know, he put this seed in my head like 3 years ago, and now it's like, came out. Gotta have morning fresh fruit juice. So, you know, I'm like looking in the refrigerator, did the kids eat all the grapes or not, you know? And then I caught myself, you know, I was like, I hope they ate all the grapes, because then I'll have fruit. Right? That's, you see, the grapes that I didn't want them, the grapes that I wanted to be there were megi-da. Those are grapes that don't exist. They are grapes which you can keep if you protect your grapes. If you hide them with the almonds behind the cereal box over the fan above the stove. Okay? Alright? Like, those are megi-da. The ones you can protect by not sharing them. Those almonds, those grapes, they don't exist. Those are megi-da. Okay? And then yugi-da is the fruit that I found tucked in the bottom freezer drawer, the cooler drawer thing at the bottom, in the back, after I had the thought, I hope they ate the grapes. You see what I mean? They were created by me, having the thought, I hope other people share our food, because then I'll get food the whole term. You see what I mean? That fruit that's gone is yugi-da. That fruit which was already shared is grapes that are grapes. And the grapes I didn't want to share are grapes that aren't grapes. Got it? So now the question. Why did I bring this up? Because I had to kill 5 minutes. No. Why did I bring this up? Because when your friends read those early Buddhist translations, which are still being put out. And it says, entranced by the idea of self. And then they're going to ask you, well, do you believe that in a self or not? Do you think the grapes are themselves? Do you think you are yourself? You know, and is the refrigerator itself? You know, I heard Buddhists don't believe in a self. I heard this Atman thing, Atman. And, you know, all the Hindus are screwed up because they believe in Atman. And all the Buddhists are cool because they believe in Anatman, which means there's no self. But who are you? And then you're going to say, look, there's Yugyu Dak and Megyu Dak. Ya, Naro, Ya. No, it's very impressive. And then like half an hour later you say, now this Yugyu Dak. It exists. And the Megyu Dak, it doesn't exist. So you can't, when you ask me whether Buddhists believe in a self, whether things are themselves or not, I have to ask you first, do you mean the grapes I didn't want to share, or do you mean the grapes I did share? And they're going to, well, what about the grapes you didn't want to share? They don't exist. What about the grapes you do want to share? They don't exist either because the kids ate them yesterday. No, not like that. They exist. They exist because they work. Okay. When I share them, I get more grace. So they do have a self nature. You know, I can create karma from them. I can get on a roll that ends in Buddhahood with them, with those grapes. Grapes that I share exist. Grapes that I don't want to share don't exist. And then it's things that don't exist that you get angry about, or you get jealous about, or you get possessive about, and that's why me and Maya come up here. It's the grapes that don't exist that you want to be mine. You know? And then somebody invades your grapes. You know? Like, they took my grapes. You know? I knew Orr and Jamie would end up doing that. We should have put a label on them that said, Christine Michael's grapes. You know? And, you know, like that. Then you get into problems. You know? Then you get mental afflictions. Then you get unhappy. Then you want more grapes. Then you protect them. Then in the end you don't have grapes. They go bad in the bag overnight. You know? Why you buy a new box of strawberries and they're all green the next morning? You know, it's because you didn't share the grapes. You see? Okay? Got it? I'm just telling you how to get the chocolate drink. Alright? Say, you get that? Make you done. So that question from many, many, many of your students in the future, many, many people you will meet in the future, do Buddhists believe in the self or not? And how do they differ from Hindus? They don't differ. Really, they don't differ. Every Hindu in the world believes that things come from karma. Every Buddhist in the world thinks that things come from karma. I had this discussion with this ancient Hindu sage named Jambudvipa on top of the Holy Jain Mountain, you know, and what's it called then? Palitana. Yeah. And at the end, he's like, oh, you're just like us. You know? Like, for 90 years, his mom was there. She's 120. And for 90 years, he thought Buddhists didn't believe in karma because they don't believe in Atman. And he didn't understand. You see? And it was so cool to explain it correctly. So now you're going to explain self correctly. Right? Ya, say ya.
Ya.
Nara.
Na.
Ya.
Ya.
Da.
Da.
Ra.
Da.
Gatak.
Ga.
Yatak.
Ya.
Shabgyu.
Gu.
A.
Gigu.
I.
Gyu.
Pao.
Da.
Ga.
Da.
Okay. See you later. Who's gonna... Yase?
Sashi,
Thank you.